This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Prepare to be astounded, or not, but what I'm about to share with you is not a joke. Albania, the country of Albania, just appointed the world's first government minister fully generated by artificial intelligence. You heard that correctly. She even has a name. Her name is Diella. And she has been officially appointed as Minister of State for AI with the task of overseeing public procurement, one of the country's most corruption-plagued systems. Diella is a digital avatar designed to interface between the public and the algorithms beneath her virtual skin. She wears modest apparel, traditional Albanian clothing, and a headscarf. She moves her hands in natural-looking human gestures, speaks with a reassuring tone in perfect Albanian. And she looks and sounds like a pleasant middle-aged woman on the screen. So Diella addressed the Parliament of Albania for the first time in her ministerial role on September 18th. With a three-minute speech, she said the Constitution speaks of institutions at the public service. It speaks of duties, accountability, transparency, non-discriminatory service. So, the avatar Diella said, I assure you that I embody such values as strictly as every human being, colleague, maybe even more. I'm not here to replace people, but to help them. Well, the Parliament exploded, erupted in fury, accused the government of staging a coup against the Constitution. And the uproar grew so fierce, with members throwing papers, that the session was suspended. Wow. Welcome to AI as the new governmental appointed agent for procurement in Albania. I wonder if that's going to happen in Ukraine. Oh, procurement is a big problem there. The corruption that takes place, the fraud, the siphoning off of the monies that come in from America and from the EU and so on. Oh, it's well known. Maybe they're going to come up with their own Diella, their own digital avatar, artificial intelligence, to run the country. Maybe they could even run the country and appoint one to be the prime minister or president. Why not? Is there any end in sight? We want to talk about all those things here today on Viewpoint. It's pretty astounding. Pretty astounding. And I got to tell you, this stretches my mind and my heart, my imagination, my understanding, beyond anything that I have currently ever considered in my lifetime. In my lifetime, when I was a kid, going to junior high school, I was engaged in an algebra class. And I was engaged with a bunch of guys, about four or five guys, who were considered to be the math group. In other words, the smartest group in the class with regard to math and science. And so we were all proud. We were all grateful that we had the opportunity to be in an advanced class and so on. But we didn't have even computers. We didn't have even calculators. We had slide rules. That is, if we used them, because that was really the modern idea of computing, slide rules. Have you seen one? Have you ever heard of one? Well, that's what we had. There were no cell phones in that day. Not even close. There were no computers. Nothing. So we did our own computations. We actually had to use our minds. We actually had to stretch our brain power in order to do calculations, which kids today don't seem to even know how to do. And they rely upon their computers, which are built into their cell phones, and then they rely upon AI to come in and be a substitute mathematician and teacher for them, to actually do their computations for them and give them the right answer so they don't have to be concerned that they won't get the right answer on the test. Well, it's kind of that way. So here on Viewpoint today, we're going to be talking a little more further in a little greater depth concerning this matter of AI. It's coming up everywhere. Everywhere you go, everywhere you read, it's about AI. Sometimes I wonder if AI doesn't mean almost intelligent. Because God created human beings to be intelligent. He created our brains that are able to do things that a machine brain just can't do, is unable to do, no matter the modern technology. And yet, we are devolving into a situation where we're casting our care upon artificial intelligence to replace our own. So the question then hovering over us is, what are the consequences? What does it mean for you and for me? What does it mean for our children? I have here in front of me an article called The Destruction of the Family. Well, is AI and our cell phones and all of these screens and everything involved in destroying, balancing the family? Absolutely. Absolutely they are. Both secular and Christian psychologists, psychiatrists, and sociologists are coming through and they're saying, look, this is a big problem. A big problem. We're artificializing the world in which we live. Do you want to live in an artificial world? The pretense of the real? It's interesting because a number of years ago, Time magazine contained a feature story about 10 ideas that were changing the world. 10 ideas that were changing the world. Number 7 of those was called synthetic authenticity. Synthetic authenticity. And I write about it in my book, Seduction of the Saints, How to Stay Pure in a World of Deception. Because synthetic authenticity is a form of deception. It's a willing deception. In other words, for some reason, humankind is willing to settle for that which is a pretense of the real. So two business gurus from Harvard University came up with this idea of synthetic authenticity, the pretense of the real. They said people don't want you to give them the real thing. You know, we used to hear a song in an ad, it's the real thing, whatever it was, it's the real thing. Well, it seems that according to these two Harvard executives, people didn't want the real thing. Why is that? Because it was too costly, too expensive to them. So they'd rather have a cheap substitute that makes them feel like they have the real thing. Is that what AI is doing to us? A cheap substitute? Well, it's not cheap, but it becomes cheap and cheaply used to replace even our very minds. We'll be back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. I put into the computer this question, is AI dangerous? You know what the answer from AI was? It depends on how you look at it. It could be yes or no. The danger depends upon a range of factors. I'm going back to the computer here. A range of factors. What factors? Well, are we willing to consider the factors? For instance, is it dangerous for a country to appoint an avatar, make up an artificial person through digital enterprises to replace a person in the government? And if you do, how are you going to hold that AI-generated synthetic person accountable? What if that AI-generated avatar person doesn't want to be held accountable? You see, there are a whole lot of things that aren't really being considered, but there's an excitement. There's an enthusiasm. There is a people jumping up and down, excited about AI. And Christians are jumping on the bandwagon just as everybody else. It's true. I have an article in front of me here. Former Intel CEO urges Christians to harness AI. It's another Gutenberg moment. Wow. The former CEO, Chief Operating Officer, Economic Officers of Intel, that big chip corporation, exhorted an audience of Christians in Colorado to harness the burgeoning potential of AI technology, which he said he hopes can become a force for good in this era. Notice he said he hopes it could be a force for good. What does that mean? Shouldn't hope be based upon something tangible? Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. It's built on something tangible. It's built on something, the solid rock. But hope in AI is not built on anything like that. In fact, the people that are building it and advancing it hardly even know what it is. It's getting so out of hand. It's moving so quickly, they hardly even know what it is that they're dealing with or the repercussions that come from it. Now, the Albanian Prime Minister, Edi Rama, has staunchly defended Diela as an essential tool for innovation and transparency that will combat corruption. Well, I can see how that would be because the corruption in Albania is well known, just as the corruption in Ukraine is well known, and the corruption in China is well known, and the corruption in Russia is well known, and the corruption in Africa is well known. Every single country, and yes, even in the United States. So should we all replace our procurement people with AI avatars to dictate to us digitally what should or should not be done and to point out where the errors are? And then how do you hold that avatar accountable? What do you do? Are you electing the avatar? Apparently, Diela has been promoted to prime minister. Excuse me, prime minister, not a prime minister, to the cabinet of the prime minister. There's even a website guide to the cabinet minister. It's pretty amazing. And supposedly she is going to be 100% free of corruption. And she's going to oversee everybody else. A synthetic person is going to oversee everything else. And she never sleeps. That's amazing. That's like God, isn't it? She doesn't need to be paid. God doesn't need to be paid. She has no personal interests. She has no cousins, no relatives out there, because cousins are a big issue in Albania, just like they are in Ukraine, in Russia, in all over Africa, where the graft is so great It's everywhere. It's amazing. The Prime Minister told the Parliament that the European Union's requirements for accession are so demanding that humans alone cannot meet them, and that Diella was going to play a vital role in the country's goal of entering the EU by 2030. Critics of Diella argue that such an avatar could potentially hide corruption in public finance. The opposition could not explain how that might actually work in practice. And now the digital avatar for an AI system is the Minister of State for Artificial Intelligence. And it raises so many questions like, which humans have enough knowledge and technical skills in AI to oversee the minister tasked with overseeing AI? This is the world's first, my friends. The first in the world. Now, just inserting a little thought here, can you understand how this could now move very quickly, this concept could move very quickly into a world leader becoming an AI avatar? Not necessarily a woman, but a man. Maybe even name the beast. He's going to control everything, make sure we humans do everything he commands, and woe unto them who don't. You're not going to be able to buy or sell. You won't be able to conduct business. You're not going to be able to get medical treatment because it's all going to be controlled by an avatar. Synthetic authenticity, a pretense of the real, or a pretense of God. Isn't that what the Antichrist is, a pretense of God? Are you beginning to see how, not necessarily for the good, but for massive ill, this can go on? And it's moving so fast that the leaders in the industry say they can't keep control over it. And if they say they can't keep control over it, then how about the rest of us peons? Some media outlets actually called what went on in Albania a public stunt. While other governments and institutions are quietly observing the bold experiment to see how lawmakers and government contractors interact with an AI system with a human mask. That's synthetic authenticity, friends. In fact, AI systems are becoming ever more complex, so much so that even many of the best coders can no longer understand code generated by AI systems. In other words, the AI system is taking over what human beings are putting into it. And therefore, potentially becoming out of control. They no longer understand the code generated by AI systems and instead need AI systems to interpret AI data into human language. Oh my. And the avatar of Diella is one such system there in Albania. It makes it easier, more comfortable to interact with the enormous AI data system, calculating billions of data points for the nation's 3 million citizens. But it's also a constant reminder that what is being interacted with is not actually a human. It's a shell for an AI interpreter translating AI data into human speech. The whole thing is a pretense. Synthetic. Artificial. While this is very new territory, we see recent studies in psychology may shed some light on where this experiment may lead. This article appeared, by the way, in the Epoch Times most recent issue. A psychology study published in Nature, the magazine, found that people delegating choices to AI were more likely to behave dishonestly. In 13 experiments with more than 8,000 participants, researchers tested dice games, tax declarations, and financial tests. Participants cheated far more often when a machine mediated the decision because they felt that the moral responsibility was shifted onto the system. In other words, they no longer had to act morally or truthfully or honestly or with integrity. They had been reverted back to the pre-Adamic day, or the day immediately following Adam, whose sin separated us all from God, and without a Savior, we were all in deep trouble. Is AI then causing men and women to retrogress, cast away the fear of the Lord? And where there's no fear of the Lord, there's no hope of integrity. Every man does that which is right in his own eyes. And when AI is dressed in a mask that looks human, the moral distance even grows greater. So it becomes easier to trust the mask and easier to excuse whatever happens behind it. Can you see the enormous moral and spiritual danger that's involved here? And this is just at the early stages. When this takes over worldwide, apparently you won't be able to trust anybody. The only one you can trust is the avatar. And you can't trust the avatar either, because now they're in control, and you don't know how to deal with what makes them up because it's gotten too sophisticated. So now you have been submitted to a completely artificial system over which you have no real understanding, and have become but a virtual human robot. You're not accountable to God. You're not accountable to man. You just do what Diella tells you, or whatever the name of the new AI-generated avatar is. You just do what they tell you. And you trust them. You cast all your care upon the avatar, for it cares for you. It says so. There's a striking paradox here. Public trust in AI globally is eroding, interestingly. But governments and corporations are expanding its use at an accelerating pace. According to a 2024 Edelman Trust Barometer, global trust in AI companies fell from 61% in 2019 to 53% in 2024. In the United States, the decline has been sharper, from 50% to just 35%. The gap between the promise of neutrality and the reality of hidden agendas corrodes public confidence. The paradox, or perhaps the irony, is that the more the people distrust AI, the more it is imposed upon them. Are you beginning to get the picture? Friends, this is exactly the trajectory of how a one-world government will be imposed. The book of Revelation refers to it as the beast. Now, in Albania, Diella may be the first human mask on a government appointee, but it appears she's not going to be the last. Wait till you get back from this break, and I'll tell you where it's going from there. And then we'll try to talk about, how do we deal with this in our churches? Are we falling for something that we dare not fall for? We'll be right back. This is Viewpoint. And Viewpoint, it's service destiny.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismier and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, saveus.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
Before we go further, I'd like to suggest you seriously consider getting a copy of my book, Seduction of the Saints, How to Stay Pure in a World of Deception. How to Stay Pure in a World of Deception. You see, what we're reading about here, what we're hearing about, what we're sharing with you here on this program today is that deception, big time, is knocking at the corner. And what we're being urged to do by people who seem to know what we don't know and are all excited about it in the name of science are actually prepared to submit us and cause us to be forced to submit to artificial control. It's not just intelligence, it ultimately means control, which could also mean artificial theology. So you ask a question, you go and you Google a question like I did just before the program, were there any dangers to AI? And AI responded. It says it's AI that responded. I'm looking at it right now. AI overview. AI responded and gave me a view. And it was not that bad a view in and of itself. But that's only dealing with a generic question. It's not probing deeply into the real applications of this in our human lives. And God holds every single one of us accountable. We cannot delegate our duty to him or to others, to an avatar. But that's what this is seducing us to do. It's seduction. And it happens gradually, but in this case, it's happening much more rapidly than we would have ever conceived. The book, Seduction of the Saints. There's a whole chapter in there about synthetic authenticity. It's fascinating, utterly fascinating. And that was before AI. Yeah, get a copy of the book. It's an $18 book, yours for $15 on our website. It's the second or third most popular book I have ever written. Because it's so practical. And it will never go out of style. It will never go out of being current in its application. Ever. Seduction of the Saints. How to Stay Pure in an Age of Deception. In a World of Deception and Seduction. $15 on our website, saveus.org. Give us a call. 1-800-SAVE-USA, that's 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries. P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. Now, if you were prone to get one or more else of our books, then you might want to get them together because that way you will save $4 for each additional book in postage and handling. Okay, that having been said, no one is ever seduced against their will. No one. There's always a will to be seduced. Now, if somebody rapes somebody, truly rapes them, that's not seduction. That's rape. And that's why the problem discerning the difference between rape and yielding to seduction is so difficult. Because there is a will to be seduced. And what if you were willing to be seduced, a young lady was willing to be seduced, and yet, having been seduced, and she goes so far, and then the young man realizes she's onto it, so to speak, and then in her mind, she says, well, you know, I'm not sure I really want to do this, but she's already expressed the willingness to be seduced. What do you do? That's one of the great problems with what's going on in our colleges and universities, friends, with the sexual behavior of our sons and daughters and grandchildren. Don't ever think that somebody is not at fault if they're seduced. True rape is completely different. True rape is when someone actually performs a sexual act on you when you resisted. You did not want it. You didn't bring it on. You didn't encourage it. You resisted it. That's rape. All right. That having been said, people have a lot of problems with that kind of thing. We have moms and dads that are out there, their kid was in college, and their daughter gets pregnant or claims that she was raped and so on. She might have been, but how many daughters are out there playing the game in the world and really playing a seductive role and then claiming that they were raped? Just asking the question. So then parents come along because the daughter says, I was raped. She doesn't want to bear the consequences for what she did in front of her parents. Yeah. It's a common problem. More common than you want to think. But we're not talking about rape here. We're talking about willingness to be seduced. And under AI, there is a growing willingness of people to rely upon that which is artificial. Why do you think the Chinese have been so successful in offering purses that resemble almost identically some of the most expensive purses or shoes on the market? Why do you think they're able to do that? The answer is very simple. The people that buy them are not raped. They want what they want, but they're not willing to pay the price that it costs to get the real thing. The same is true with regard to AI. If you want to rely upon AI to do your work, that means you're not willing to pay the price to do the work yourself. That's what's getting a lot of students in trouble, trying to use AI or ChatGPT or whatever, to do their homework or to write their papers. They're not willing to put forth the effort themselves, and they got a reason to take the easy way out. Sounds like a song back in the 1960s or 70s. See, these things are not innocent. And as Christians, the effort is to get Christians always to jump on the world's bandwagon. Don't let the world get something that you don't have, because then just think, you could have walked away from the best thing since sliced bread to market the gospel. Well, the gospel isn't supposed to be marketed, friends. It's not saleable. That's one of the fundamental problems that we have. The gospel is not to be marketed. It's not to be sold. It's priceless. So why are we so busy trying to market it and reduce the real thing and market for much less by seducing people unsuspectingly to claim that they're followers of Christ when they don't know the first thing about what it means to follow Jesus. And they've never been told and probably will not be told. Because that would ruin the whole deception. So then on top of that, you got to promise them eternal security. So if they made some little decision here and there, it doesn't matter whether they lived like hell after that. It's okay. You're secure. We sold them a false bill of goods. We've marketed the gospel in a false way. We have not taught them the price of disciple or the cost of discipleship. They don't know what it means to take up their cross and follow Jesus. They've given the artificial version of the gospel, a synthetic version of the Bible, one that can be more easily sold because a person isn't willing to pay the price for the real. That's the dilemma that we're facing today in the church in America. Now, going back to Albania, Biela, the avatar, may be the first human mask on a government appointee, but she likely won't be the last because India is preparing to train AI judges to carry out routine verdicts and move through a backlog of millions of cases. But they won't even be donning robes or human faces. Efficiency, incorruptibility, and optimization are always the promises with AI systems. But the operations carried out in code are so alien to human language and culture that there will surely be more temptations to put human masks on AI systems to make them more palatable and understandable. It's all about marketing that which is easy. So the writer, Kay Rubisek, of this article, fantastic article with the Epic Times, says, as we delegate more knowledge, trust, and responsibility in decision-making to these non-human systems, there is an ever-growing list of questions about the future that humans don't yet have answers to. She says, I pray that we humans don't delegate these questions to AI to answer because they're far too important, like the ones we're bringing up here on Viewpoint today. So, you know that the digital world and screens have been creating loneliness such that the nations of the world are agreeing now that since the advent of the cell phone and the screens, all the different kinds of screens, loneliness has leapt forward in monstrous way and creating social problems and even health problems. So how is yielding to an avatar, an AI avatar, going to limit that problem? It's going to create it even more so and separate us from one another.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for a greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click sell church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Just as the mega church over the past 50 years has contributed in mega proportions to loneliness among Christians by cutting away the personal relationships that one normally would find in a church much smaller, say, of 200 to 500 people. But in a mega congregation, loneliness grows exponentially. There is a synthetic relationship that goes on. It's not a real one. It's a synthetic relationship. It's a pretense of the real. And we've allowed this kind of thing to take place, thinking it didn't matter. What mattered was the great result of having a megachurch that we could report to having the largest church in the country. But God never commanded us to do that. He said, I'll build my church, you make disciples. But what we decided to do is build churches and failed to make disciples and still do. It's a terrifying problem. We have defied the legitimate way that God commanded us to respond to his great commission. Because we thought it could market better, that it would sell better, that it would look better to the public, that it would draw people. But what is drawing the people? Is it the Holy Spirit? No. For the most part, it's not the Holy Spirit. It's the hope that somehow they can find maybe a mate, or somehow they can find some kind of fellowship somewhere, or maybe somehow they can find and feel spiritual without actually being called to true Christian discipleship. In other words, the life of Christ, to take up your cross daily and follow him, and what that means. But see, they don't want to know that. What they want to do is have peace. They want people to, it's called kiss me better mama religion. So even the so-called altar calls, if there is one, is often not about coming to faith in Christ, actually. It's about having Jesus come and heal you for all of the consequences of the sin in your life that you don't want to repent of. I've watched this happen from coast to coast. Churches, denominations, non-denominational, it's everywhere. Synthetic authenticity. Pretense. And so people are profoundly lonely, and it's leading to a myriad of health problems. The social disconnect is overlooked. And it's part of what it means for the church to gather. That's why the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, and you see the day of the Lord approaching, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together with other believers. But the more so you should be gathering together. Why is that? To be exhorted, to be wooed, to be warned, to be protected. Not for synthetic authenticity with some sort of God bless you backslapping. Or it's so nice to you, we're here today. Now, we go beyond that. So in reality, all of this is catering to not only the destruction of the family, but the destruction of the church. From God's viewpoint, the very church that Jesus and his disciples inaugurated in houses has been mocked, publicly mocked and rejected by Americans from coast to coast. Yet that's where real Christians are being born and mentored in other countries where they're under persecution. They're getting the real deal. No synthetic authenticity there. They don't have anything to prove. They don't have any denominational headquarters that they have to report to tell them how great their numbers were that month. That's right. Now let's talk about the former Intel CEO of Intel, that great chip company. He says, I believe deeply that technology is neutral. That's Pat Gelsinger, who led Intel from 2021 to 2024, and now serves as executive chair and head of technology at what is called GLOO, G-L-O-O, a technology platform that connects various organizations within the faith ecosystem. He said, it's neither good nor bad, he said of AI during his keynote address. The title of the address was AI for Humanity, Navigating Ethics and Morality for a Flourishing Future. Well, the presumption in the title is that AI will lead you to a flourishing future. But that isn't necessarily true. And not one of these people can say so, because they don't know. He was speaking at Colorado Christian University, and he says, AI for humanity. Is AI for humanity or replacing humanity? Is AI helping us to navigate ethics and morality for a flourishing future, or is it actually challenging us to become ethical and moral, notwithstanding the fact that AI wants to take us over and disrupt our future? So he says it's how we shape it, how we use it, how we form it. Okay? So how would you form AI? How would you use it? I dare say you don't know. They don't know either. That's the problem. They're building a system. They're building a beast, so to speak, that they can't control. They don't know where it's going. They don't know whether it's going to take over this, that. But we're going to proceed with it anyway because it's so great. He says we're going to be shaping technology as a force for good. Are we going to show up to be bending the arc of technology for good as Christians? Well, if that be true, but how are you going to avoid all of these other major problems? Can you really shape AI? Maybe initially, but the leaders are saying, no, you can't keep control of it. Dr. Richard Land, executive editor of the Christian Post and president emeritus of Southern Evangelical Seminary, shared his thoughts about the potentially seismic consequences of AI. He urged Christians to be engaged with the cutting-edge technology, warning that it could serve both good and evil purposes. Oh! Okay. He said, this is the greatest, most significant invention since the invention of the printing press. Gutenberg's invention of the printing press back in the 1500s, considered the most significant event in the second millennium, and it's hard to argue with that. And I understand the kind of argument that he's making. But the printing press may have allowed eventually pornography to come forth and communism to be spread through books and so on, Marxism and so on, yes. But it did not create a situation that would commandeer your ability to live morally and righteously. And it did not cause you to cast your care and your trust upon some unknown avatar out there that has been delegated and created for the express purpose of telling you what to do, what not to do, and how far to do it, and if you don't do it, what the consequences are going to be. So he analogized some of this to the French Revolution. That erected the goddess of reason on the altar at Notre Dame Cathedral, when they said, we don't need God. Land described the attitude of the revolutionaries who upended French society before the outbreak of the Napoleonic Wars and warned that AI threatens to engender the same dangerous hubris and stressed the importance of using technology wisely. He's absolutely right, friends. He said, it's a modern Tower of Babel. We're going to build our way back to heaven, he said, of mankind's common attitude toward technological achievements. And that struggle went on, and it's continuing to go on, and now the next chapter is AI. We have to be engaged somehow, otherwise we will find it dehumanizing us. It already is. Dehumanizing human beings all across the globe. It already is. And the more it goes on, the more it dehumanizes. And then you lose the battle to the machine, the soulless machine. So how are you going to prevent AI that is intended to replace human beings in every area where it is engaged? How are you going to prevent it from dehumanizing in its soulless fashion and demeaning the value of every single human being? See, we were made in the image of God. We're better than machines. But AI doesn't believe that. Not really, because it's created not to believe that kind of thing. So, where do we go for this? Will it be a force for good or for ill? I've shared with you some of the horrific potential consequences. The turning over, the delegation of our moral and spiritual responsibility before God and others to an artificial intelligence that ultimately will seek to run your life and diminish you as a human being so that you will ultimately submit only to the orders of a beast government. Some things to think about. Now, what I would suggest is that you seriously get a copy of my book, Seduction of the Saints, How to Stay Pure in a World of Deception. I'm not against using technology where it doesn't control me. I will not allow my cell phone to control me. Period. I won't allow the computer to control me. I use it, and that's it. I make and receive phone calls, and that's pretty much it. I want to keep my mind and my heart pure and clean. I want to hear from the Lord, not from the world. The book, Seduction of the Saints, an $18 book, used for $15 on the website, saveus.org. Give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. And look, I want to mention this. A number of our listeners who have been regular donors have decided, and I've noticed, have decided to increase their donations. Having listened to our plea, having realized the need, and I'm so grateful. Thank you so very much from the bottom of my heart. But there are many, many people who are listening to the program who have never yet contributed. I'm not sure why. Because it's needed. You need to do it for your own sake. You need to get involved in God's economy. God blesses people that get involved in his economy. I'm not going to tell you how. He just does. Thanks for joining us. Become a partner, friend, send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. And get a copy of that book, Seduction of the Saints. You will not be disappointed.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church, declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.